House, please come to order. Members, please show their presence by voting. Clerk, please announce the total.
36 members present.
Please rise for prayer by Reverend Arthur Knight for the Douglas Community United Methodist Church.
Lord, another week now begins where in this body will work on behalf of your people in life. It's not easy, this task, and we ask for those who represent us your help and your spirit. We pray that they may be given wisdom to understand and courage to do the work. That the vision of the reality of your kingdom stand always before them. The goal to strive for and the standard for the measure of both attempt and accomplishment. Grace is needed here in Christian love. And we pray that both may be present. In the name of him who showed us truly what these things are. Amen.
House sanities. House, please come back to order. Representative Miller. Chief Clerk, please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal.
There is a correction to the journal for the 116th day. On page 1258, it should read, on voice vote, amendment number 5 was not adopted. I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 117th, 118th, and 119th days in House Journal Supplement number 39.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 117th day, the 118th day, the 119th day, House Supplement number 39, and the correction noted by the clerk.
Hearing no objection, the journals for the 117th, 118th, 119th day, House Supplement number 39, and the journal is corrected on the 116th day, is approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Anderson is excused from the call today. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Brown be excused from the call through plain time this morning.
Hearing no objection, Representative Brown is excused from the call through plain time this morning. Are there guests for introduction in the House? Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have any guests, but I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objection, prayer will be spread on the journal. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate accepts the invitation to meet in a joint session at 11 a.m. May 26 to hear an address by the Honorable Don Young, U.S. Representative. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill number 101 amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the teacher's retirement system and authorizing adoption of regulations by the Alaska Teachers Retirement Board.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 236, rules amended by the Rules Committee, an act relating to assistance to municipalities in providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution number 46, reduction of the cost of living allowance paid to federal employees in Alaska, under consideration, and recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred by Miller, Fuller, Brown, and Abood. House Joint Resolution number 46 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 29, development of a plan for Alaska agricultural development, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 29, Resources, and that it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Gardner and Jaroff, concurred in by Gardner, Jaroff, Vasca, Sutcliffe, Grusendorf, and Bettesworth. House Concurrent Resolution number 29 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 504, effect of a successor clause in a collective bargaining agreement, under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurring by Miller, Fuller, Brown, and Abood. House Bill 504 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, citations, and resolutions.
Citation commending Muldoon Road Baptist Church by Representative Phillips, Cotton, Halford, and Martin. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 567 by Malone, Clarkson, and Moss, an act establishing the Alaska State Supplemental Employment and Training Program.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Democratic caucus on the motion to recess. Representative Hayes.
Would the previous speaker restate his motion or his...
Motion? I didn't...
The motion was for a Democratic, or the statement was for a Democratic caucus on a motion to recess.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Republicans will caucus upon a motion to recess, and Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative O'Connell be excused from the call of the House today.
Hearing no objection, Representative O'Connell will be excused from the call of the House today. Are there other announcements before recess? Representative Randall.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, could someone give us some idea how long the caucus are likely to be today?
As long as it takes. I don't know, Representative Randolph. It's an indefinite period of time. Just so the members will know, though, if it extends, we'll try to let members know what we're going to do during the noon hour, prior to the noon hour. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no further announcements, I'll move this body stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Hearing no objections, the House in recess will call the chair. House, please come to order. We are down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, did we go through the first reading in reference of House bills? Okay.
The referral that's on the sheet is the correct referral. We are down to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill No. 6 by Miller and Duncan, an act relating to historical districts and to loans qualifying under the Historical District Loan Act and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 6 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurring by Miller, Brown, and Fuller, signing do not pass, Cuddy, and Abood. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 6 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurring by Freeman, Cotton, Adams, Carney, Haugen, Montgomery, and Rogers. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker, in the absence of amendments, I'll ask the unanimous consent that House Bill No. 6 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Bill No. 6 is in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill No. 6 by Miller and Duncan, an act relating to historical districts and to loans qualifying under the Historical District Loan Act and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Hayes.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Just a question to the sponsor. Is there any particular reason for increasing it from $100,000 to $250,000?
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, in answer to the question, yes, this $100,000 just really doesn't buy much in the way of reclaiming a historic building. The fact is, the $250,000 is probably too low. And if I were, and Mr. Duncan, were doing it over, we'd probably suggest a figure of perhaps $500,000. You can easily spend $250,000 in a historic building that you're trying to preserve, just in the foundation alone, and what you've done doesn't even show. But nevertheless, $250,000 is a lot better in that respect than $100,000, which is just practically no help at all.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to look up the interest rate. What interest rate is that money put out to the public?
Representative Miller.
Members of the Finance Committee can correct me. It's either 7 or 7.5. I can't recall which. Because of the value to a community of a historic building, it's considered in a public interest to assist that building to be kept in a historic appearance and to be preserved. And that's why the lower interest rate than the normal type loan.
Representative Rogers.
Yeah, that Mr. Speaker, that interest rate is now at 7.5. It was raised last year from 6. Could we have a brief at ease?
House, stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Is there further debate on House Bill 6? Question for the House is a passage of House Bill No. 6. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Representative Byrne? Has any other member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
32 yeas, 4 nays.
So House Bill No. 6 has passed the House. Representative Miller?
Mr.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 6 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the roll call on the passage of House Bill 6 will be considered a roll call on the effective date clause. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 91 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to domestic violence, sexual assault, and adult crisis intervention programs. The Committee on HESS has had House Bill 91 under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 91 HESS and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Clarkson, Chairman, concurred by Clarkson, Cato, Duncan, and Byrne. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 91 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 91 Finance and that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred by Freeman, Meekins, Carney, Rogers, Malone, and Cotton. Signing no recommendation, Adams, Montgomery, and Haugen. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 91 Finance be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place on final passage.
Representative Miller, the adoption of the committee substitute.
Oh, beg your pardon, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 91 is accepted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Now we got Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
I'd like to ask a question, and maybe with the thought toward putting in an amendment. On page 1, line 22, A1 there, it says three persons be appointed by the governor from the list provided by the network on domestic violence and sexual assault. Can someone explain to me what that is?
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the network on domestic violence and sexual assault is, as the statute says, a nonprofit corporation. It is the coordinating agency for the existing shelter network, the shelters that are provided for victims of domestic assault now. They are, the coordinating body for all of those agencies that are receiving these grants now. Purpose of the legislation is to provide authorizing legislation and to continue their participation to the extent legally possible in the operation of their program. So it is an existing agency, and it is the one that represents all those shelters that are presently receiving funds by grant through the Department of Health and Social Services.
Mr. Speaker, one further question. And this list, could it conceivably just be of three people? Is there anything preventing them from just putting a list of three people from which the governor would have to appoint them, those three people?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure I have a specific answer to that. The language does not limit the number of people that can be on the list. We have had some discussions with the governor's office about the constitutionality of limiting the governor's selections so that the governor has no discretion. I think it's safe to say that the intent of this legislation would not be to limit the list to three, to the extent that only three people are provided to the governor, thereby eliminating the governor's discretion to appoint other people. I believe that the legislation would be defective. So I think the answer to the question is, by implication, the list must be more than three people in order to give the governor the discretion that he requires.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a brief adjustment, please?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't...
Prior to the adjustment, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't really think there's a problem, because any governor that thought he was being limited by somebody could, both constitutionally and consistent with this section, say, that's fine, you gave me some names. I don't like the names, you ought to give me more names. This is not the same as something like the appointments that come from the Judicial Council, and that's a constitutional nominating process. So I don't think there's a problem, you know, assuming the governor's not a dummy.
Representative Randolph, do you want any? House Standees. House, please come back to order. There is an amendment on the desk. Would the clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Randolph. Page 1, line 24. Add the following. The governor may request additional names from the network.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to adopt the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted. Are there other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, there is an amendment being prepared, I think, if we could have another very short at ease.
House Standees. House, please come back to order. We do have additional amendments. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Halford and Brown. Page 5, line 20. Add section 3. AS 446610A is amended by adding a new subsection 10. Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, June 30, 1985.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Rod. Representative Rogers.
Could the clerk please read the line number again?
Amendment number.
Excuse
me.
Please read the amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Halford and Brown. Page 5, line 20. Add section 3. AS 446610A is amended by adding a new subsection 10. Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, June 30, 1985.
I believe the line number is incorrect. Representative Halford?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. If you'll permit, I would just like to change that line number to line 24.
The reference is to line 24 on page 5. Representative Rogers?
I remove my objection.
Is there further objection to adoption of the amendment? Hearing no objection, the amendment's adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Martin. Page 2, line 26. Delete the semicolon. Add, for programs which received money under this chapter.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Objection. There is objection. Representative Martin.
Thank you, sir. To read my, I'd like to see this added, sir. Is, number one, it is recommended by the physician paper in the Department of Health and Social Services. But more than that, I think that there are a lot of private organizations and private individuals who do help friends and neighbors who have been victims of violence, who have been victims of sexual assault and so on. And I think that they should be able to do the human thing that they've always done, neighbors helping neighbors and families helping families. I'm afraid that if we don't narrow this to those programs that we're paying for, then these individuals, it is quite possible, might interfere with the private efforts.
Is the objection maintained? Representative Claxton.
Mr. Speaker, I have no objection to the substance of the amendment. I believe there's a technical error in it. If the entire subsection is read, the words "for programs" are unnecessary. I would move to amend the amendment to delete the words "for programs."
The amendment to the amendment will have to be in writing if you desire to do that. Representative Claxton,
have a brief at ease.
House, stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative, there is an amendment to amendment number 3. Will the clerk please read the amendment to the amendment?
Amendment to amendment number 3 by Mr. Claxton. Page 2, line 26. Delete the words "for programs."
Representative Claxton.
Move the amendment to the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment to amendment number 3 is adopted. Is there objection to amendment number 3 as amended? Hearing no objection, amendment number 3 as amended is adopted. Are there other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 91, Finance as amended, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 91, Finance amended, is in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for a third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 91, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, enacted relating to domestic violence, sexual assault, and crisis intervention and prevention programs.
Is there a debate? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. In fairness to the chairman of HESS, I think it's important to ask him if he would give the body an explanation, because I told our caucus that I'm very concerned with the position papers presented by the Department of Health and Social Services, and perhaps I have been misleading to some because I did not understand it as well as the chairman has explained it to me. Then also there's considerable concern over the letter from the Attorney General, Mr. Chairman, you know, talking about the constitutionality of this, and I think if we have a clearance that more people have a better understanding.
Representative Claxton.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 91 establishes or authorizes the establishment of a new Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. It's placed within the Department of Public Safety, and the, as you can see on page one, the council consists of three persons appointed by the governor, two public members, Commissioner of Public Safety, and the Commissioner of Health and Social Services. When the bill was being considered by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, there was a memorandum by Mr. Pegues to the Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, which apparently was some sort of a legal opinion about some possible defects with the legislation. They raised two possible constitutional problems with the legislation. The first, it is that the legislation unduly impaired the appointment authority of the chief executive by limiting the people who can be appointed by the governor. The second objection was that the bill gave the new council a tenure or duration of office that did not give the authority to the governor to remove them at the pleasure of the governor. Those two points were raised in the Hess Committee, and Mr. Speaker, with the amendment that's been adopted on the floor today, both of those concerns have been addressed. If you will look on page two of the legislation, lines four through nine, we have made absolutely clear that not only is the term of office 2 years, but that a member serves at the pleasure of the governor. That satisfies the first concern. The second concern was satisfied with the adoption of the amendment a few moments ago, which clarified that the governor had the right to reject proposed suggestions by the network and request additional suggestions, so that the governor had the discretion to appoint other people. That satisfies the two constitutional questions raised by the Department of Law, and I think makes the bill absolutely constitutional and easily supportable. I can respond to other questions. I can go through a section-by-section analysis, but I think that's a quick summary of where we are with this legislation.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 2, line 23, the powers and the duties of this council, they may hire an executive director and staff. And then back onto the fiscal note, does that fiscal note include that or not? Did I get just a yes or no on it?
Representative Rogers.
Well, I don't think you can get a simple yes or no. There is a position now in the Department of Health and Social Services which handles essentially the executive functions for this bill. We approve three positions. None of them are titled executive director. It's my belief that that position in Health and Social Services will be transferred to the Department of Public Safety to handle the duties of executive director.
Representative Abood.
Then I am to understand that the $257,000 figure, as the fiscal note shows, will apply to the powers and duties if they do elect to hire an executive, because we have. I just wonder why it wasn't called a project coordinator versus an executive director and staff for that executive director. Is there any conflict there between that and the fiscal note, calling out the project coordinator, research analyst, and the clerk typist?
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the fiscal note represents additional funding over and above what we have now for domestic violence and sexual assault programs. Because there is a position in the Department of Health and Social Services which is equivalent to an executive director, the fiscal note did not require the creation of another new position.
Sir, further debate? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one other clarification for myself as well as perhaps others. I'm concerned that we do not have control of appropriations that may be allowed for this council. And number one, I'm very favorable for it, like I am for a lot of other things, but I don't necessarily believe in giving them a full range of programs that they can run, and at the same time come back next year and say, well, gee, we need a hefty supplemental appropriations. I really don't see a control factor in here yet as to what the council will do. What is their limit in hiring and expanding and so on? The limit, obviously, right now is $2,070,000. But suppose they go over that, I'm really concerned, and I hope the chairman would ease my concern and others. Does the Department of Public Safety have an overriding veto on anything they do. Who has that overriding veto to stop the appropriations that they seek?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I have to answer that question with a question. It sounds like the member might be talking about two different things. One of them might be the question of accountability on a management accountability basis, and presumably the Hess chairman could answer that. But the other question is about, you know, what's the control on the money? Well, the control on the money is us. The Constitution says that. They don't give money. They don't get money unless they raise it privately or something.
Representative Martin.
Thanks, sir. Well, we had at least three experiences last year that were kind of hard for all of us to accept. I guess the worst one last year in Anchorage, where we were very sympathetic for a private organization that wanted to handle their own problems with special children and adults. And we found out that within 6 months they went busted and used up all the monies. And the letters we received, yes, it wasn't really their fault because they were not given any special expertise, but at the same time, it's what they demanded, a free hand to run the program as they see fit. And this is what my question is now. Do we have an overriding, I think most of the power belongs within the council, and the other administrative heads that we have there can give advice and so on, but we don't have the final authority to stop them from spending or spreading out.
Is there further debate? Question for the House. This passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 91, Finance amended. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
So committee substitute for House Bill number 91, Finance amended, has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar. Representative Cotton, House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, may we take up the reconsideration of HJR 44 at this time?
The reconsideration of House Joint Resolution 44 has been brought up. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Joint Resolution Number 44 by Freeman, Adams, Clarkson, and Grusendorf, relating to the Alaska Native Allotment Act.
Is there debate? Question for the House is a passage. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I have some amendments on the clerk's desk.
Representative Byrne.
And I'll move and ask the unanimous consent that Amendment Number 1 be adopted.
The correct motion would be to return to second reading.
Oh, that's correct, yeah. Well, Mr. Speaker, I'll move that we return to second reading for the purpose of specific amendment.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read Amendment Number 1?
Amendment Number 1 by Mr. Byrne. Page 1 on line 28. Insert, further resolved that the resident receiving the land be first required before receiving title to place a habitable dwelling on the land and to mark the boundaries of the property by brushing and to survey the property and record it and to have the Commissioner of Natural Resources classify this land for its highest and best use.
Is there further debate on the motion to return?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
I strongly support this resolution, HJR 44, regarding native land allotments, and I certainly think that these people are entitled to some land. However, I think that probably what happened is when we were considering this on Friday that we were rushing and didn't take into consideration some of the policy decisions that this body has made over the past several years, and as a matter of fact had reinforced this a few hours before that, as regards land disposal. I know we want to be logical and consistent in whatever action we take or whatever we do, and accordingly I thought perhaps a couple of small amendments here would correct what I perceive as deficiencies in this resolution and will bring it into conformity with the policies as established by this body. The requirement that a habitable dwelling be placed on this land would be indeed in keeping with what the legislature decided this past week. I attempted to remove that clause from the bill before us, but it was the decision of the body to keep that in there. And I think that having made that decision now, we should be logical and consistent, and we should require that a habitable dwelling be placed on this land before it is turned over to private citizens. Whether it's done by the federal government or the state government or whatever, it still should be done the same way. Also, we determined as part of our policy that the boundaries of the property should be marked by brushing for whatever reasons in our wisdom. And accordingly, we should, I think, make the same effort to require that people receiving land in this state by other mechanisms should do the same thing. We also require that the a survey of the property be done and that it be recorded. Reasonably, we should require that also. I'm sure you'll agree. And then, of course, the Commissioner of Natural Resources must absolutely classify this land for its highest and best use. It would be unthinkable, sir, that these lands would be allowed out without having some type of classification or some type of, zoning regulation placed upon them. It's not in our, it's not in keeping with our policy to allow lands out as fee title and let people do with them as they want to. We've decided that we're going to restrict utilization of these lands very severely, and I would like to see this amendment adopted built into this resolution, and so that the federal government never gets the idea that we are not being consistent, logical in what we're doing. I have a couple of questions I might ask anybody who can answer me. What are the size of these allotments, and what is the location of these allotments? If anybody could help me on that, I'd appreciate it.
Those questions, I don't believe, would pertain directly to the question of returning to second reading.
Well, whatever you think, Mr. Speaker, but I wouldn't argue that point with you in your powerful position. But on the other hand, I think that we should seriously consider what we're doing here, that we're being inconsistent by not building this in here. And so I'll ask that the objections to the amendment be withdrawn.
There is objection.
Thank you.
Question before the House, shall the...
Please ask for a roll call vote, too, sir. The last time we had a voice vote, I didn't do too well.
Question before the House is, shall House Joint Resolution 44 be returned to second reading? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 22 nays.
House Joint Resolution 44 has not been returned to second reading. Representative Byrne.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move that we return to second reading for the purposes of specific amendment, amendment number 2.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Byrne. Page 1, between lines 20 and 21, insert the following. Whereas it is the policy of the state to transfer public land to private ownership very, very slowly and in very small quantities, and whereas the legislature has determined that 2.5 acres is usually sufficient land for anyone's needs, be it resolved that no native allotment exceed 2.5 acres in size.
Is there debate on the question to return to second reading?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This might be called the amendment number 2 might be called Byrne's communication to the Bush amendment. Because I noticed last week that in the in our consideration of House Bill 31 that the Bush was uniformly and solidly opposed to changing any of the state policy as we had adopted it in previous years and were reinforcing on with the adoption of House Bill 31. So I thought perhaps the communication to the Bush would be in order, that they would understand that rules that are applicable to one group are applicable to all groups under our system. What I'm attempting to do here is to point out that, and I'm sure you'll see the wisdom of it, that 160 acres of land is just too much land for any one person to use. We've heard that argument here so many times, that 2.5 acres is all that anybody ever does need in this world. That'll satisfy all of his needs. And that we've consistently determined that we know what the needs of people are and we're going to tell them what they need, whether they want it or not. And whether they know it's good for them or not, we're going to give it to them. And although 60% of the people in the state wanted 160-acre allotments of land offered to them by the legislature, so the legislature has determined that 2.5 acres is all they need, and that's all they're going to get. Well, maybe we'll give them 40 once in a while, but that's going to be pretty skinny. We want to be logical and consistent, as I remind you, and we must also remember that this 160 acres of land is what I understand these allotments consist of. A lot of it's coming from our national forest lands. And do we really want to take these lands from our national forests, you know, from our heritage lands? You know, I haven't heard any of the conservation groups or societies speak, and I haven't heard any of the anybody who usually, you know, one of the heavy guns for them speaking against this program. And I know that there must be some people here who don't want to see our forest lands invaded. You can't even, you know, drive a truck through it, or you can't even walk through some of it without a permit. And yet here we are going to take big chunks of it, 160-acre chunks. My God, that's almost as much land as you could buy in one of the other states for 20 or 30 bucks an acre. So I'd like to see that amendment adopted very much, and I'll ask that the objections be withdrawn.
Question? Mr. Speaker, I'm objecting to it. If I may have the floor.
Representative Moss.
I agree quite frequently with my good friend on the other side of the aisle there about lands and things, but I might point out that these 160 acres and things like that are lands that these people asked for basically under the old federal type land disposal before we ever got into all this parks business that locked everything up. I might add that there's a good possibility now that we can buy some of that land in these parks now if these people are given these allotments, fee simple title and so forth. Some of the rest of us might be able to get a hunk of ground in one of them national parks. And I think it's real good because it takes away from some of these parks that's been thrust upon us. And I think that was actually the idea for the bill, is these people have waited a long time for the rights to these lands that they have applied for. I think it's a great bill to go ahead and let them have that land. And the 2.5 acres, well, heck, you can't even make a garden on that by the time you cut a few of them trees out of that national park. I kind of like the whole bill the way it is. Let them people have that forest land right in the middle of it. You might say it's a burr under the saddle for some of those federal boys that shove this other stuff down our throat. Thank you.
Question for the House. Shall House Joint Resolution 44 be returned to second reading for a purpose of specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
12 yeas, 24 nays.
The motion has failed. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of specific amendment.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Byrne. Page 1, between lines 27 and 28, add the following. Resolved that no patents be issued on these lands until such time as an habitable dwelling is erected on the property which meets all state codes for building, sewer, and water in keeping with the Alaska State Home Site Law, and that no mobile homes be permitted on the property.
Is there discussion?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly, if these lands pass into private ownership, there should be, you know, consistent with the policies that we have established here and that the Bush legislators have voted for and supported consistently, there should be some requirement that these people do something with that land. They just cannot get 160 acres of land and leave it, just keep it. That's unreasonable. They've got to build a building on it. They've got to cut the trees down. They've got to plow it up. You know, they've got to do something with it. I can't imagine what they need 160 acres of land for anyhow. It's unreasonable. I think that we should require them to build a nice piece of, a nice dwelling on there and develop a part of that property. Now, Mr. Speaker, I have here, to illustrate the point I'm trying to make here, I have here a letter from a fine Anchorage person who's just found out now that the legislature gives it to you with the big print, you know, and then we take it away with the small print and the home site deal. And so the poor lady, well, she got her home site land. Then she found out that she couldn't build on this land until she got title to it. So she went to see her attorney about it. And this attorney from a very substantial firm in Anchorage has reported to her that there's a catch-22 in this law that, gives it to her on the one hand, takes it away from her on the other. And we've had chances now for several years to correct that, and we haven't done it, so I don't think the legislature is inclined to do it. As a matter of fact, the legislature is consistently sending a message to the people that it's not going to give them any land. So, and here's this poor woman now. She's got the property. She has a lot of expenses. She cannot build on the property because she can't get title to it. She can't afford to get a loan unless she's got some security. So she doesn't know what to do. So she intends, I guess, to give her land up. So I think that we cannot ask, somebody in my district to do one thing and ask somebody in another district to do another. That's not reasonable. That if we're going to give the land out or see that the land is given out, we must logically and consistently then require of that person receiving this allotment that a dwelling be built on there that meets all the codes. And all, we don't want any raw sewer dumped out on the soil or anything like that. We want it to be, kept in its very proper conditions, meet ongoing all the codes of the environmental groups and so forth. And I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that's my final communication to the bush. Thank you, sir.
Question. Representative Freeman. House deputies. Come back to order. Question for the House is, shall House Joint Resolution 44 be returned to second reading for purpose of specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Excuse me, 13 yeas, 23 nays.
And so House Joint Resolution 44 has not been returned to second reading. Please read the next amendment.
Proposed amendment number 4 by Parker. Page 1, after line 27. Add, further resolved, the legislature respectfully requests the Secretary of Interior to designate a former Alaska legislator pathologist as a Pennsylvania native. And further resolved, Pennsylvania natives receive 160-acre farms in Pennsylvania.
We'll rule that amendment out of order. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 5 by Parker. Page 1, line 27. Insert a new subsection. Be it further resolved that the Secretary of Interior is respectfully requested to use available contingency funds to purchase a farm in Pennsylvania for a distinguished retired legislator pathologist from Alaska.
I'm sure there's several other amendments like that. Representative Brown?
Mr. Speaker, I had a slightly different one. It was going to limit it to a 2.5-acre farmland homestead in Pennsylvania. But in light of the other amendments, I won't offer it at this time.
Is there further debate on House Joint Resolution 44? Question before the House, shall the House pass House Joint Resolution number 44? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
So House Joint Resolution number 44 has passed the House under reconsideration. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, on House Bill 91, there's some concern over the transfer of functions from Health and Social Services to Public Safety, and I've had a letter of intent placed on each member's desk, and at this time I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the letter of intent on House Bill 91 be adopted.
Is there objection?
Yes.
There is objection. Representative Martin?
Sir, I want to ask a couple questions. Number one, is the previous speaker the author of the letter of intent? And number two, it seems to me that this is kind of a slap in the face to the Department of Health and Social Services. I can't understand it. If they believe that the department would not follow the law, then perhaps we should be a little more outspoken about it instead of putting through a letter of intent of this nature. I really think it's a negative attitude, and I'd like to have a better explanation before I approve it.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, it's not designed as a slap in the face at any department, but the concern I had, and it was reflected, by the way, is item number 7 on the Department of Health and Social Services letter, is that the bill will take effect 90 days after passage, which is sometime during the fiscal year. And the question as to exactly when funds would be transferred and so on, I think, does require cooperation and coordination. And I think, I think it could be mistaken that people thought, well, that with passage of this bill, all the funding should immediately be transferred to public safety and wait until the new council is appointed. That takes some time to get a council appointed, and I think it's important that the funding go out on a regular basis to cover the programs. And it is intended to reaffirm our commitment that the programs won't be hurt by this transfer.
Representative Brown.
You know, compared to intent language in recent previous years' budgets, this is hardly a slap in the face. Compared to some of that, this is kind of more a gentle nudge if we look to see what we've done in Freemanizing a few people and things of that sort.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the letter that was referred to by the gentleman from Fairbanks, it makes it quite clear by the Department of Health and Social Services, if I may read, sir, if this bill becomes law, the Department of Health and Social Services will work cooperatively with the Department of Public Safety so that in the interest of clients and the state, services will not be interrupted.
Is there further debate on adoption of the letter of intent? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
The question before the House is adoption of the letter of intent on House Bill number 91. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
35 yeas, 1 nay.
The letter of intent of House Bill number 91 has been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 334 by Fuller, Adams, Hurlburt, Sutcliffe, Vasca, Chuckwack, Duncan, Grissendorf, Malone, Moss, and Jaroff. An act making special appropriations for village safe water facilities, solid waste facilities, and water and sewer systems and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Health has had House Bill 334 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Clarkson, Chairman, concurring by Clarkson, Duncan, Cato, and Byrne. Martin has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 334 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 334 Finance, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Chairman, concurring by Freeman, Cotton, Meekins, Buckholt, Moss, Adams, Carney, Haugen, and Rogers. Having no recommendation, Montgomery. I have one Committee Substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 334 is accepted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Mr. Adams. Page 1, line 11. Amend. Delete $4,885,100. No, excuse me. Add $4,885,100. Let me start over. Add $4,885,100. Delete $4,935,100.
Representative Adams.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there was just a drafting error on this, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt this amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment's adopted. Are there other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, if there's no further amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 334 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, Finance Committee Substitute for House Bill number 334 is in third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 334, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee. An act making special appropriations for village safe water facilities, solid waste facilities, and water and sewer systems and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I looked at this bill earlier this morning. I have one question on Section 6. And it's an appropriation of $250,000 for a grant to Evansville for private wells. And I'd like to have an explanation of that, please.
Is there further debate on the bill? Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a question. In Section 7 and 8, it provides appropriations to DEC, for facilities in areas not connected by, and then it uses the term, the Alaska Road System. It uses it in both sections. I wonder if the Alaska Road System in this case includes the Marine Highway System or not, because that definition has gone back and forth both ways in other legislation.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the community I represent isn't served by the Alaska Marine Highway System, but I was under the impression that that used in this context that it did include the Alaska Marine Highway System.
So further debate on the bill. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concern about here is that as I remember, there's a mandate by Congress to the U.S. Public Health Service and Indian Health Services that they have a major responsibility in our village areas for water and sewage. And I'm wondering if the gentlemen that are sponsors of this bill would let us know why we deliberately taken over their responsibilities for whatever reasons, and therefore, once we do this, is the Public Health Service going to be negating the rest of its responsibilities and hoping that the state would pick it up?
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe by this legislation we're taking over functions of the Public Health Service. We have had the Village Safe Water Program for some time to take care of the basic water and sewer needs in this state. Public Health Service, I think, provides some funding. This provides additional. There's under the new Reagan budget, funding for a number of programs is being cut back significantly. I think if we are going to provide safe water and solid waste and sewer systems throughout this state, it is going to require this kind of state funding, and I don't think this in any way duplicates what's being done now by the Public Health Service.
Representative Adams.
Yes, I'd like to answer Representative Phillips' question regarding, I think it was Section 6, private well for the village of Evansville, which is at Bettles Field, and there are locations in Alaska where we cannot put a water system throughout a community, and there are times we're just going to have to put a centrally located well in the community to serve everybody, and that's the case at this place.
So further debate on the legislation. Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to ask a brief question of the representative from Nome on Section 2. There's a considerable difference between the original bill as introduced and the Finance Committee version, and I wonder the reason for the deletion of $7 million on that.
Representative Fuller,
are you referring to a specific village there, Representative Fanning?
Representative Fanning.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, the Nome Water and Sewer Utilidor was originally $11 million and now is $4 million. That's a very simple answer. $11 million point something was in there originally, but you know there's no bottom to this bag, it's so to speak, that everybody's grabbing at. And we dropped it to 4.6 to try to be reasonable. We were going after the whole ball of wax to do it all, so we just chopped it out and went with what we could go this year and did some cutting in the bush. That's the example.
Is there further debate on the bill? Question for the House is a passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 334, Finance Amended. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
33 yeas, 3 nays.
So Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 334, Finance Amended, has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Committee Substitute for House Bill 334, Finance Amended, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There are three effective date clauses. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll make that for the several effective date clauses.
Hearing no objection, the roll call on the passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill 334, Finance, will be considered a roll call on the several effective date clauses. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation honoring Albert A. Ninguluk by Representative Fuller and Senator Ferguson.
Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move the citation for Albert Ninguluk and compliment the chief clerk on her pronunciation.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, citation is adopted. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to place a motion before the body. I'd like to move H.R. 12 and advance the resolution from the House State Affairs Committee to the House Judiciary Committee.
Can you give the title of the resolution, please?
Okay, this is proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the legislative session.
Question before the House. Shall House Joint Resolution Number 12 be advanced from the State Affairs Committee to the Judiciary Committee? Is there debate on the motion for advancement? Question, Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, to what extent are you going to limit motion on the advancement? We discussed the merits of the bill.
I think I will give opportunity for a member to explain what the bill does. After that, the debate should be limited to advancement. Representative Hayes?
Can very well just limit my remarks to advancement to remarks on what the bill does. So saying that's going to be the ruling of the chair in the future on motions to advance bills, then I'll save that for special orders and remind the chairman the next time he rules differently.
The intent would be that on a motion to advance the bill from one committee to the next, that the maker of the motion or someone else will be allowed to explain what the bill contains. However, debate would not then focus on the merits of the legislation, but only on the merits of advancement. Is there a debate on the merits of advancement? Representative Hayes.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think it's proper to say that the bill would call for a 120-day session. And if I might add that... if I could, without being ruled out of order, that I think many of us are aware in this body that there have been about 13 previous sessions when we've adjourned in less than 120 days. And I know that, Mr. Speaker, that we've had tremendous growth in the state, that we've got a great amount of wealth to deal with, and all of this can contribute legitimately to the length of session, but I think, Mr. Speaker, the point is that we've already set a new record in terms of the amount of inaction that's occurred in this body in the last 120 days, and I think that although we might be able to prevent a new record in terms of establishing the total number of days we're going to be involved in this session, I certainly don't think we can avoid the stigma for having taken the least meaningful action in this time of great urgency in the state. And I'll limit my remarks there.
Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, on the merits of the issue of returning or advancing the bill is a constitutional amendment. So in an odd-numbered year, in the first session of a legislature, there is not that much urgency with regard to constitutional amendments because they need only be passed by the end of the second session in order to be on the general election ballot in the following even-numbered year. By its own terms, Section 3 of the bill says the amendments proposed by this resolution shall be placed before the voters of the state at the next general election in conformity with Article 13, Section 1, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and so forth. So really, there's no urgency of getting this into the Judiciary Committee, and who knows, if I got it in the committee, then I might feel constrained because there's so much interest in having hearings on it this year anyway rather than next year, and that might even slow up the session. So this motion, if passed, actually might slow up the session.
So further debate on the advancement motion. Representative Hayes.
Well, I hate to borrow words from other members of this body, but to quote the senior member from your district, Mr. Speaker, that's one of the silliest excuses I've ever heard. I think the point before us is that we've been talking to a great extent during this legislative session and before we came down here about legislative reforms, about limiting session. We've heard all that kind of rhetoric. And to use an excuse that this is something that we ought to deal with next session and that we might delay the session when we've already spent 4 months here essentially doing nothing, I think is, again, I hate to borrow other people's phrases, but it's about one of the silliest things I've ever heard.
Is there debate on the motion to advance?
Yes, sir.
Representative Martin?
Thank you. One of the things I find peculiar about this whole issue, sir, is that this was the priority of the majority party last year. Matter of fact, one of your members was the one that introduced the bill, and certainly it's a priority of the people, and I think we ought to advance it.
Question for Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too would speak in favor of the motion to advance this bill. I think that it's time that majority party members gave some indication of a sincere effort to try to get on with the business of the state and adjourn this legislature.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't think I'd have to speak on this because I thought we'd sort of get over this, but I must say that this session has set a record for dilatory actions, in my opinion.
We are on the motion to advance the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes, are you speaking for?
I do support the motion to advance
the
bill.
You
have the
floor.
Thank you, sir. One of these days, I'm going to have to ask you why it is that when I get on the floor, we have to have this little thing back and forth.
Ask me in conclusion, sir.
And in conclusion, the last time we had a dilatory action, I believe it was by the former speaker, he was missing.
Question.
Representative Hayes. Mr. Speaker, in response to the to one of the previous statements about setting a record for dilatory action, I'm not going to make any comments other than that, except I'm going to limit my criticism of the leadership as much as I can today and say that, Mr. Speaker, a lot of us have been discussing recently our concerns over reapportionment and the fact that we're expecting to see a lot of new faces here, perhaps not even ourselves, in the next legislature. If that's a vote of confidence from the House Democrats, I thank you very much. But I think one of the things that we have to be concerned about, Mr. Speaker, is that the public is becoming rapidly aware of what we have and what we have not done during this legislature or during this session. I think also that the public is becoming aware of who the so-called leadership of this body is, and I think that as one of our political forebears has observed, that the public aroused is a fearsome beast, and Mr. Speaker, I think that the beast is aroused and has just begun to snarl.
Question for the House. Is your House Joint Resolution number 12 be advanced from the State Affairs Committee to the Judiciary Committee? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Motion has failed. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? House standees.
Okay.
House, please come back to order. Under unfinished business, Representative Smith.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I have a couple of items. One, I'd like to announce tomorrow's calendar. Will be House Bill 174, AFDC, 176, General Relief Assistance, House Bill 201, Special Appropriation, Department of Revenue, Interest Payments on Municipal Bonds, House Bill 507, Fisherman's Loans, and Senate Bill 329, Special Appropriation of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, NANA. You've also noticed that we have a new permanent style page. Many of you know her because she has been in the lounge before, and I'd like to introduce Kathy Bixby at this time.
Representative Miller, would you return us some messages from the Senate, please?
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent this body return to on the calendar to messages from the Senate.
Hearing no objection, we are under messages from the Senate.
Dear Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed House Joint Resolution number 53 requesting the United States Senate to support continuation of the present first seal harvest quota, and it is returned. This resolution has been sent to enrolling.
We are back to unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Are there announcements other than those that appear on the calendar? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Republicans had hoped to finish their preliminary review of the budget this afternoon, although in checking with the chairman of the Resource Committee and other members here, including yourself, I understand that there will be committee meetings this afternoon. Resource meeting will be going to 5 o'clock, so I'm going to announce that the House Republicans will meet promptly at 5 o'clock in the Butrovich room to complete our preliminary review of the budget.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet at 3 o'clock. I think we'll be able to report out House Bill 92, and we'll also we expect to report out House Bill 50, which is the operating budget.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the Judiciary Committee meeting scheduled for today at 1 will be canceled, and the bill that was scheduled, House Bill 167, will be basically crammed in one of our other meetings, or we may even announce an extra meeting for tomorrow night.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, a slight adjustment in the schedule of the HES Committee. I have issued a revised schedule for this week, which I'll arrange to have in each member's box. The only bill we'll be able to get to today is House Bill 501, a special appropriation to University Within Walls program. Because of some illnesses and such, we will not hear House Bill 51 or the bills on the Board of Regents, which were on the adjusted calendar. So we'll just hear one bill today. It should be a short meeting. There's a couple of other matters of business that I'd like to take up with the committee having to do with confirmations of appointments to boards and commissions. So I'd appreciate all the members coming promptly at 3, and we should be done in about a half hour. Again, please note the revised schedule, which I'll put in everybody's box.
Representative Herbert. Are there other announcements? Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I want to give advance notice of an important series of meetings. Next week at 12:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the Gas Pipeline Committee will be holding hearings on legislation that will be circulated today. Every member should get a memo explaining the legislation in the bill. The legislation deals with an attempt to resolve the corporate oil and gas income tax suit and problems that suit creates. And we did have a meeting last week reviewing the report and that was done by our staff and the consultants working on the problem. So the draft of the legislation will be available this week. This will give everybody a week to review the legislation before the hearings, but I didn't want to give everybody plenty of notice of the meetings. That will be next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 12:30 in the House Resources Committee room.
Representative Brown.
One other advance notice announcement I should probably make. We have a major confirmation hearing in the Judiciary Committee at the end of this week. I believe it's set for Friday. It's on our published schedule have confirmation hearings for the currently appointed but not yet confirmed Attorney General. And since, in the view of many of us in this House, we believe the confirmation hearings are good vehicles to use as a way of asking questions about the policy of the department that the person would be in charge of, as well as addressing his own credentials and capability for the job, I would suggest that you talk to members of your caucus on either side that are on the Judiciary Committee, or for the Libertarians who are not on the Judiciary Committee, pass any questions or comments you have directly to me or to attend the meeting yourself, because I think we should do our duty under the Constitution in this area. That's Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Are there other forewarnings? Representative Smith?
It's not exactly a forewarning. It's kind of a hind warning or something. The meeting that was canceled today of the Rules Committee will be rescheduled for 4:30 tomorrow. We're not sure of the room yet. There will be a change from the room that was scheduled for today. Rules changes.
Other announcements? Special orders. Representative Gardner.
Speaker, I'd like to request the privilege of the floor under special orders to speak on state finances and wealth.
You have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I want to speak today about something that's been concerning me for some time, and just a recent incident has sort of brought it to my attention and I think a lot of other people's attention to the state. Starting last year, the state was blessed with a great opportunity that probably a lot of other political jurisdictions in the state and the world don't, and that is of having more money than we were then used to having for what we had seen as our needs. And there's been a lot of proposals by everybody as to
what we ought to do with this money, and I think that's proper that there is discussion. And but meanwhile, at the same time, there has been coming a lot of national concern and a lot of national focus, people looking at Alaska and saying, what are those people doing with that money up there? First of all, do they have the right to have it, and are they using it in a responsible fashion? But also, I think a lot of citizens in the state are asking the very same questions, and I think it's good that citizens of the state and country ask that question of the state of Alaska and of the elected officials here. And I think that there's going to continue to be that scrutiny, and everything that we do is going to be taken very seriously, and everything that we propose is going to be taken very seriously. And in looking through all the newspapers that we get around the state, almost every newspaper had some article about the proposal made by a member of this body, which is reported very seriously in the newspapers, although the members spoke to the proposal as being one in jest. And although it may be a jest to propose taking 400,000 strong bags, one for each man, woman, and child in Alaska, and fill them each with $10,000 in silver and gold, and then people would go out, those who worked the hardest would get the most, and those who didn't so much or weren't so smart wouldn't get so much. And the best thing about this, of course, is that IRS wouldn't know who found what. And that may be a joke, but the problem is it was reported in the press, and a lot of people that I happen to talk to, and I'm sure there's thousands of people in the state that I haven't talked to, took it seriously because it was printed in the press, and it was the remarks of a state official, and not only that, but the remarks of somebody who has now proposed, their party has now proposed run for governor. And I think we're all going to have to be very careful about this, and probably there will be mistakes made like this where there are things that are said in jest or joke that end up being taken serious and get a lot of publicity, which I think creates a lot of adverse image for this state outside the state. It puts a lot of questions in the mind of citizens in the lower 48 as to whether Alaska, as we argued under D2 and many other federal state jurisdiction issues, that we do have the maturity and responsibility to take care of things up here, can really do this. And I don't know how you go back and pull something that was said in jest or a joke out, but I think that needs to be done. I think it needs to be made clear to the public of Alaska and to this country that this was a joke.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with everything Mr. Gardner just said.
Representative Moss.
If I might take a moment, Mr. Speaker, and speak about trivia.
You have the floor.
I read an article in a newspaper that makes me feel a little better about the buffalo. I was afraid some of them were going to be hurt, but apparently Mr. Watt's going to take care of this. It says here, when the buffalo on the Interior Department seal showed up on stationery facing right instead of left, it was suggested the new direction was chosen to reflect the political leanings of the Interior Secretary James Watt. But no, the change was made for topographic, not ideological reasons. Chief Department spokesman Douglas Baldwin said Wednesday, as Baldwin explained it, he and Watt changed the stationery to make it reflect the department's orientation to the west. That's nice. I'm glad to hear that. They chose a western-looking typeface and wanted to include the traditional department seal, which pictures a sunset. The old stationery had a left-facing buffalo, but no seal. The new one has the seal and a right-facing buffalo superimposed on top of it, looking away from the sunset. For artistic reasons, we felt that the seal had to be on the left, Baldwin said. That would have meant the buffalo might fall off the paper and injure himself. So I'm glad they changed it. So the buffalo on the seal was made to face right, looking onto the page as the usual practice, not off it. Not to suggest too great a regional tilt, Baldwin also noted the change left the buffalo facing his friendly cousins to the east. And I just wanted to bring this to your attention. Maybe our buffalo won't get hurt when they fall off the page.
Representative Booth.
Thank you. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on buffalo.
You have the floor.
There was a song written once. I won't sing it, but I'll relate it. Well, show me a home where the buffalo roam, and I'll show you a very dirty living room.
Are there others? Are there other special orders, Representative Miller?
Speaker, I was just going to ask if you were ready for an adjournment motion.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I ask you, would this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning?
Hear no objection. The House in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.